Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about the Lord's delight, That is, if we can see from the Scriptures in what the Lord delights, then we can do those things with the certainty that He will be pleased. In what does the Lord delight? Well, the Lord delights in, first of all, obedience. The Lord delights in obedience. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and look at verse 22. Samuel is talking to Saul, and he says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Notice the word delight in that text. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 15, you read that Samuel, following the Lord's command, instructed Saul to kill all the Amalekites and to kill all their cattle. Well, they went into the fight, and instead of killing all the Amalekites and killing all their cattle, he killed most of the Amalekites and most of their animals. He spared King Agag, and he spared the best of the sheep and oxen. Now, when Samuel came to Saul after he had fought with the Amalekites, Saul said that he had performed the commandment of the Lord. In verse 13, he said, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel said in verse 14, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" In other words, if you had killed all the animals, how come I'm hearing some sheep bleating? How come I'm hearing some oxen lowing? Well, Saul said, "Well, I've kept the commandment of the Lord, but we've spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God." In other words, in Saul's mind, he believed that he had obeyed the Lord and that offering a sacrifice to the Lord would even be better than what the Lord had commanded him to do. Saul believed that he obeyed the Lord, and he hadn't obeyed the Lord. Now look, the nature of man is to do what he wants to do, while doing just enough of what he thinks God wants him to do to get by. He thinks God should be pleased with his sacrifice. I say that in quotes, sacrifice. For instance, men do as they please all week long, and then they go to church on Sunday. And they go through their once a week ritual, whatever that may be, and they leave feeling good that they have done enough sacrifice to please God, and then they go the next week and do again as they please until the next Sunday. They're just like Saul. Saul disobeyed God and thought he could buy God off with a burnt offering. They go to church and think they can buy God off with a little attendance at church, maybe a little gift in the plate, and following whatever ritual is there, and that somehow or another God should be pleased. You know what David found out? David found out God wasn't impressed with burnt offerings. Look at Psalm 51. David did something really bad with Bathsheba, and then against her husband. And when he was found out, he wrote Psalm 51. That's what the Bible tells us in the superscript above that psalm. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. And David was pleading for mercy in this psalm, but he says in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it." Watch it. "Thou delightest not in burnt offering." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Notice this. "Thou delightest not in burnt offering." In other words, the Lord doesn't want you to go out doing things that are wrong, and you know they're wrong, and then to go to your church or to give something or to do something nice for other people and think in your mind that you have offset the thing that you did that was wrong with your sacrifice. God delightest not in burnt offering. God delights in a broken and a contrite heart that obeys Him. In other words, the Lord wants you to look at what's going on in your life and look at those areas where you are disobeying Him, and then look at those things you're doing in your life that qualify as a sacrifice, that cover for your disobedience. And God wants you to stop that. If you want the Lord to delight in you, obey Him. Be very careful to keep from disobeying God because of the pressure you feel from others. Saul kept those animals alive and blamed that on the people. He said, "Well, the people wanted to offer these sacrifices." But you know what? When Samuel asked Saul why he disobeyed the Lord, he said, "I feared the people." And it's very common for us as human beings to fear other people and do things that are contrary to the Lord, that are contrary to what God wants us to do, because we fear them. We want them to speak nicely of us. We want them to look upon us with favor. However you view it, you want to be in good standing with people. However you view it, it boils down to the fear of man. And when you fear man, you don't fear God. And when you don't fear God, you're not going to obey Him. And God delights in obedience. That's what He likes. And if you want to impress God, I use that word. If you want the Lord's delight, then obey Him. Read what He says and do what He says. Because the Lord does not delight in offerings and sacrifices as much as He delights in obeying the voice of the Lord. So the Lord delights in obedience. Find those areas of your life that are not obedient to the Lord and start obeying Him. Secondly, the Lord delights in wisdom. The Lord delights in wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. The whole chapter is about wisdom. And she cries to the sons of man. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 4. "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." What does she say? Verse 5. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." That's what she says. "Understand wisdom, and be ye of an understanding heart." God is looking for wisdom in us. Now, God is not interested in how clever we can be. God is not interested in how witty we can be with our own inventions or with our own wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." God looks at that and says, "Well, that's clever, but I'm not impressed." Why? Because God delights to see us live by the wisdom that He offers us. In other words, when you read Proverbs chapter 8, you find out wisdom's been here longer than men have been here. Wisdom is a part of God, and wisdom has been with God for eternity, and wisdom will be with God for eternity. And so God delights in wisdom. And as a result, then, God delights to see us live by the wisdom that he offers us. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. Here it is. Wisdom says, I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So God is always delighted with wisdom. The Lord asked Solomon, of Solomon, what do you want? When the Lord appeared to him. And Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding. That's what Solomon said. I want wisdom and understanding. If I'm going to lead these people, I need wisdom and understanding. All right, so God gave that to him. Look at 1 Kings chapter 10. After God had given Solomon wisdom, his renown went out throughout the world. Everybody found out, man, you want to know somebody that's wise, that's Solomon. Well, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon because when she heard of his fame, because she wanted to find out for herself. Look what she said in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard of thee in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee. See how the Lord delighted in Solomon? He delighted in Solomon because of the wisdom that the Lord delights in, that he had given to Solomon. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. The Lord delighted in Solomon because of the wisdom by which Solomon lived. That's the wisdom that God had given him. So, would you like the Lord to be delighted with you? Would you like the Lord to delight in you? Then learn his wisdom. You say, where am I going to get that? From the Bible. Learn his wisdom from the Bible and pray for wisdom when you read it. And then live by that wisdom and speak with that wisdom that he offers you. Don't waste your time trying to impress God with the wisdom of this world. He's not impressed. He's not impressed. He's impressed with his own wisdom as it guides your life, as you love it, as you look to that to help other people with wise counsel. The Lord delights in obedience. The Lord delights in wisdom. But that's not all. The Lord delights in a just weight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, the Lord delights in a just weight. Proverbs 11:1, look at this. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight is his delight. The Lord likes a balanced scale. All right, now you know how a scale operates. You put a weight, that's the standard, on one side, and then you put the material, whatever it may be, you know, grain or whatever it is that you're weighing. You put that on the other side. God wants the weight that measures the items in the scale to be accurate. He wants that standard to be true, to be just. And then God wants the same weight used whether you are buying or whether you are selling. In other words, it's not uncommon for a merchant to use a lighter weight in the scale when he's selling and a heavier weight in the scale when he's buying. That way he can get more than he's paying for, and he can sell less than he's selling. And that way he can make more money. And you know what that is? That's unjust. And the Lord doesn't want unjust. He wants a just weight because that's his delight. Now, how do we apply that to ourselves? Well, men are commonly unjust. In what way? They judge others more harshly than they judge themselves. Look in Matthew chapter 7, Look at verses 1 through 5. You're already familiar with one of these verses. Judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The Lord said, if you use a harsh judgment to judge somebody else, I'm going to use that same judgment against you. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other words, the Lord is saying, apply the same measure to yourself as you do to others. Because in what he described here, the man who's judging is applying a different measure to himself than he is to those that he's judging. The Lord said, I'm going to use the same measure you use. You better use the right measure and apply it to yourself as you do to others. Use the right standard. Well, you say, what's that? The words of God. Judge yourself by the words of God. And then line up with God's judgment. God delights in that. God delights in you when you are upright, for instance. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 20. In other words, when you read the Bible and then you find that the Bible has a judgment against you, you allow yourself to be judged by the Bible and then you line up with that judgment and you start living in accordance with that judgment. And in that area, you are upright. And look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. So the Lord looks at you and says, now the guy is living right there. That's the Lord is delighted with that. Look what he did with Job. He said to the devil, he said, if you notice my servant Job, you know, he's perfect, upright, eschews evil. You see that? So the Lord looks at that and says, okay, he's judged himself by my standard and he's living in accordance with that. The Lord is pleased. The Lord delights in you when you are upright, not when you justify yourself by your own measure. A lot of people do that. They'll say, well, so-and-so over there is a lot worse than I am, and I'm not doing what he's doing. And although I'm not doing what God wants me to do, God should be pleased because at least I'm not as bad as that guy. That doesn't please God one bit. That's you trying to justify yourself by your own measure. I'll show you something else. Look in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. We're looking at the word delight. The Lord delights in you when you deal truly. Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. So God delights in you when you deal truly, not when you deal falsely while pretending that you're right. That's what the Pharisees did. And you know the Lord was fed up with the Pharisees. Just look at the scathing report he gave against them in Matthew chapter 23. God said, I am not the least bit impressed when you look good on the outside and you're nasty on the inside. Not impressed, not one bit. I want to just wait. If you're going to look that good on the outside, do it because you look that good on the inside. If you don't look that good on the inside, I am not interested. God delights in obedience. He delights in wisdom. He delights in a just weight. And then the Lord delights in the prayer of the upright. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 8. He delights in the prayer, watch it, of the upright. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Now, when you're obedient, when you live by God's wisdom, when your life is properly balanced and you pray, God delights in that. You know what? We don't pray nearly enough for the sole purpose of putting a smile on God's face. We pray, of course. But wouldn't it be something if we prayed right in line with the intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ? Look in Romans chapter 8. Right now, Jesus Christ is praying, and right now, the Spirit of God is praying. And man, wouldn't that be something if your prayer life lined up with theirs. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the Spirit helps us when we're praying. We don't know how to pray. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Wouldn't it be something if our prayer life looked like theirs? Listen, God is not nearly as interested in how much you can do for Him as He is in how much He can do through you. And prayer is what lines you up with that. Everybody wants others to be impressed by their physical strength these days, by their talent these days. Those things mean nothing to the Lord. He takes no delight in your strength. Psalm 147, verse 10. Here's what the Lord says about all that. He says, Psalm 147, verse 10, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. God is not interested in how much you can do for Him. You know what He's interested in? He's interested in how your prayer life works with Him so He can get things done through you. He delights in your prayer when you are upright. That's right. And you know the hard thing about that is nobody else can see it because you pray to the Lord in secret. Nobody else knows you've got that kind of relationship going on with the Lord, and you can't use it at all to impress others. Praise the Lord. That's the way it should be. The Pharisees tried to impress others with their prayer life. God said, I am not interested. They have their reward. All right, one more thing. The Lord delights in mercy. Turn in your Old Testament to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, look at verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Look at that. He delighteth in mercy. God is going to be merciful to Israel. I mean, until now, they have rejected Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Yet, according to the Bible, they will turn to Him and God will have mercy on their iniquities. Why? Because He delighteth in mercy. You read that in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. You read that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. You read that in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. Listen, God is going to have mercy on Israel. During that tribulation, that remnant is going to turn to the Lord. They will accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Jesus Christ Himself will come back at a time when it looks like Israel is just about to be wiped out. He will intervene on their behalf, spare that nation, save that nation, and Israel will become the ruling nation of the world. You know why God's going to do that? Because He delights in mercy. Now, let me tell you something. Because the Lord delights in mercy, let me ask you this. If you haven't received Jesus Christ yet, and you're concerned about what will happen to you in eternity because of your sins that you've committed, then you know what? Will you trust Jesus Christ? That's the question. Trust Jesus Christ who paid for your sins, and you will have eternal life. You will have God's mercy and you will be able to spend eternity with Him both here and hereafter. Why? Because the Lord will pardon you. That's why. And you say, well, why would He pardon me? Because He delights in mercy. You say, but you don't even know how wicked I've been. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference. Not to God. Why? He delights in mercy and he extends mercy when men who need mercy cry out to him for mercy. That's right. The Lord would rather pardon you than you going around trying to do all kinds of sacrifice to prove to him that you are worthy. He doesn't need that. Jesus Christ is worthy. Jesus Christ has already paid for your sins. Jesus Christ is all you need. God will be delighted if you would just receive the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the eternal life that goes along with it. And that's a remarkable thing. You say, well, why would He do that? He delights in mercy. Listen, the Lord delights in obedience, so obey Him. That's very simple. You want to impress God? You want to do something to please God? Obey Him. The Lord delights in wisdom, so read the Bible, ask the Lord for wisdom, and then live by the wisdom He gives you. Boy, the Lord is so pleased with that. He delights in that. The Lord delights in a just weight, so weigh everything in life by the standard of the King James Bible, and then apply that standard justly to you and to everything else you do in life and to everyone else in life where there is the need for you to have a judgment. The Lord delights in the prayer of the upright. And so if you don't have an active prayer life yet, if you don't have a prayer life in private where you spend time with the Lord praying things that are in accordance with His intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, where you are putting a smile on God's face, then start doing that. Be upright and pray. And then, if you aren't saved yet, then turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why? Because He delights in mercy, and nothing would delight Him more than the opportunity to extend His mercy to you today. Will you trust Him? Will you receive Him? Will you be saved today? Our prayer is that you will. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.